As we prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed, please join me in our prayer for understanding. Guiding God of all wisdom and truth, as we hear your living word read and proclaimed, help us to keep your commandments and plant them within our hearts. May we grow together in our understanding of who you are and who you call us to be. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today is adapted from Proverbs chapter 6. Listen for God's word as we read it responsively. My child, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake your mother's teaching.
Bind them upon your heart always.
Tie them around your neck.
When you walk, they will lead you.
When you lie down, they will watch over you.
And when you wake, they will talk with you.
Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old.
Buy truth, and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding.
The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who begets a wise son will be glad in him.
Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice.
My child, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways.
For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the path of wisdom is the way of life.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the book of Exodus and continues the reading of the commandments that we have been doing this summer. Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So 2 weekends ago, after a 5-year absence, our family finally attended the Seidel family reunion in central Pennsylvania. This reunion happens every year on the third Saturday in July, which is also a popular time of year for VBS, youth trips, and mission trips, which is why we've missed it lately. My dad has 3 sisters, and for the last 20 years or so, this reunion has been how these 4 siblings and their extended families have connected and stayed in touch with each other, even though we are spread out from New York to Georgia, from Pennsylvania to Wisconsin to Arizona. Now, back in the olden days, when I was a little kid, and my grandma Seidel was still alive, we used to gather at the family homestead in Annville, Pennsylvania, for the family Christmas party. And our 4 families used to go camping together every Labor Day weekend. And we gathered at other times throughout the year to celebrate significant birthdays and anniversaries, graduations, or just to have a picnic together. But over time, as the 10 of us grandchildren grew up, moved out, got jobs, and started families of our own, these gatherings became harder and harder to schedule, and so the decision was made to focus on 1 Saturday in July. Now, somewhere between 20 and 40 of us gather each year to connect and catch up. Thanks to the pandemic, however, this year was a bit sparse, and it was definitely the first time we brought masks with us and tried to maintain some social distance. Not an easy thing to do with aunts who love to hug people. After lunch, we all sat around in a circle on our lawn chairs while my Aunt Karen, the youngest of the 4 Seidel siblings, emceed a highlights reel of sorts with special recognitions and celebrations from all the different families. There were lots of stories and laughter and complaints about the aches and pains of getting older. One of my cousins brought some old family pictures with her to share with us and to get some help in identifying some of the stern-faced ancestors peering up from the sepia-toned portraits. As we were packing up, my Aunt Lainey said to some of us, "Gee whiz, wasn't this just great seeing everybody again? I sure hope you kids will continue to do this long after us old folks are gone." Although this will undoubtedly become more challenging as our families continue to grow and spread out all over the country, what I heard in my aunt's words was the importance of staying connected to our roots and remembering not only where we came from, but from whom. Today we continue our summer sermon series on the Ten Commandments, which is also called the Decalogue, from the Greek word for ten, deca, and logos, word. The Decalogue contains 10 words of love for life in the neighborhood. This week we come to number 5, honor your father and your mother. But before we look at what this commandment means, I gave you all a challenge in the weekly email on Friday. I mentioned that this particular commandment is special for at least 2 reasons, and I invited you all to read all 10 commandments and see if you could figure out why. Did anybody come up with an answer? If you did, send me an email and let me know. In the meantime, I will tell you what they are. The 5th commandment serves as a bridge between the 2 major sections of the Decalogue. Whenever we think of the 10 commandments, many of us picture 2 stone tablets, right? Since that's how the biblical story tells us that God gave the commandments to Moses on 2 stone tablets. Most of us envision 5 on one and 5 on the other. However, when we take a closer look at them, we find that the first 4 commandments are all about God, honoring God alone, worshiping and serving only God, not having any idols, not taking the Lord's name in vain. And we further honor God by keeping the Sabbath as a way of organizing our lives and our time around who God is and who God calls us to be. If we look at the rest of the commandments after the 5th one, spoiler alert, here they are, do not kill, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, or covet. They all have to do with how we treat other people. The 5th commandment then serves as our bridge into human community, moving us from our relationship with God into our relationship with one another as the community that God intends us to be. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, gives us the second reason that this commandment is special. He writes, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." The 5th commandment comes with the promise that if we honor our parents, we also will be more likely to enjoy well-being and a long life ourselves. This is because through these 10 words, God is setting up a community that cares for all, especially the young and the old, the widow, the orphan, and the immigrant. God knows that we human beings are genetically predisposed to care for our young more than for our elderly. Elder neglect and abuse have been a problem in different cultures all around the world since the beginning of time, including our own. When we honor our parents, and when our society honors our elders, we ensure abundant life for people of all ages. That's the promise contained in following the 5th commandment. And one other thing that's special about the 5th commandment, it is that it is one out of only 2 in the 10 commandments that are written in the positive. Keep the Sabbath and honor your father and mother. All of the other commandments are thou shalt nots. No other gods, no idols, no killing, no stealing, etc. So just what is this 5th commandment asking us to do? Well, the first thing I would like you to invite you all to do is to find your belly button. Aren't you glad you're at home right now? This would have been a fun children's sermon, wouldn't it? Granted, it might be easier for some of us than for others, but even if you can't see your belly button, try to put your finger on it. Whether we think about it or not, our belly buttons are a constant reminder that we were created by our mother and father, and that we were born out of our mother's bodies. Stanley Hauerwas and William Willimon note, "Nothing is quite as ontologically revealing as our belly button. By noting that we are creatures, creations of mothers and fathers, the Decalogue tells us that we have life as a gift. We are begotten, not manufactured. Our belly buttons remind us every day that we were created and brought to birth by our parents through no thought or action of our own. We are not self-derived or self-made. In fact, there is no such thing as a self-made man or woman." Hauerwas and Willimon continue, "We have not been created to stand alone, but rather to need one another. Nurtured within someone's womb, the most dependent of creatures at birth and the least adept at fending for ourselves for the longest time, our attachments to our parents remind us that life is a gift rather than a possession. Each of us has been parented. No matter how old we become, no matter how many children we ourselves may have, we never get over being children of God and children of our parents. We may not all be parents, but we are all children who never would have made it to where and who we are now without parents of some sort, whether they were biological, adoptive, step-parents, grandparents, and many others. Just as God created this world and breathed life into it, so our parents created us and gave us the gift of life. As such, they are to be honored with our respect and care, just as God is to be honored as the author of all life." In the Horizons Bible study that the Women's Circle did this past year on the Ten Commandments, Eugenia Gamble writes, "Because God chose to offer the gift of life to us through human parents, those parents are to be given a place of honor in our lives as the instruments through which God draws each of us into being and into relationship with God." Sister Joan Chittister echoes this when she says, "Those who bring us into the world, who participate in the co-creation of the universe, deserve our special care, our special reverence, our special acknowledgement. We honor our parents out of gratitude for all that they have done for us and all that they have given to us." In Hebrew, the word to honor literally means to make heavy, as in to attach importance to regard something as weighty or valuable. We tend to take care of the people and things that we think are important or valuable to us. Hence, this commandment calls us to take care of our parents, especially as they age and need assistance. Biblical scholar Patrick Miller explains it this way: "Honoring father and mother is expressed in concrete actions that enhance and thus give weight to the parents in the most literal way possible with respect to clothing, food, shelter, and the maintenance of general welfare. But honoring also means listening to and spending time with our parents and our elders, learning from their wisdom and experience, and giving them our respect and love." Now let me pause here for a moment to acknowledge that some of us may have conflicted feelings about our parents and find this particular word from God hard to swallow. After all, no parent is perfect, and some parents are much worse than others. The fifth commandment in no way permits or condones poor parenting, let alone neglect or abuse. Unfortunately, it has been used far too often as a justification for child neglect and abuse. As one pastor wrote, "From my own experience and observation, no text has done more damage to abused children than the words, 'honor your father and mother.' I know that those words tormented me as a child, and I believe that they have tormented others. From my work with the Hebrew in Exodus 20, two facts are clear to me. The first is that honor is not a synonym for obedience. And the second is that the Decalogue is not addressed to children. Did you hear that? To honor is not necessarily the same thing as to obey. And the Ten Commandments were given first and foremost to adults who were supposed to follow them and teach them to their children. The Fifth Commandment was written to adult children to encourage care for aging parents, not to be used to beat young children into submission. In fact, according to Jewish law, both children, both young and old, are not expected to obey or honor their parents if their parents have mistreated them or led them astray from God's will and ways. Miller remarks that the Bible is quite clear that poor parental direction is not to be followed or obeyed. Hauerwas and Williman note further, parents are to be honored as they honor God. Parents are to be obeyed as they obey God. Parents who expect to be honored by their children's keeping of this commandment must themselves keep the Ten Commandments. This would mean understanding that their children are also a gift from God, and that God expects them to be loved and brought up to know and follow the God of love. The Fifth Commandment assumes a kind of mutual reciprocity in which the respect goes both ways, with parents not abusing their young and grown-up children not treating their parents poorly. When such mutual respect is not present, perhaps the best way to follow this commandment is as Chris Hedges suggests. We cannot undo abuse, but we can find a way to honor life, even our parents' lives, by turning that abuse into compassion, not only for ourselves, which is necessary for healing, but more importantly, for all who suffer. In the ancient world, families were the foundation of almost every society and culture, just as they are today. However, as Eugenia Gamble writes, the meaning of the fifth word is not as simple as obeying our parents. It is bigger than that. The fifth word is about how we honor life and all of the people who bring and nurture life in us. It is not limited to our biological parents. The call to honor parents applies to all of those whom God has used to parent us in one way or another. This would include grandparents and aunts and uncles, friends and neighbors, teachers and mentors, anyone who has helped us grow into our identity as children of God and followers of God's ways. When we move into the New Testament, Jesus expands this even further. In fact, Jesus has kind of a rocky relationship with his parents at times in the Gospels, obeying them one minute and going off to the temple to hang out with the priests the next, leaving Mary and Joseph to experience every parent's worst nightmare, losing your child in a big crowded city. Jesus also has some harsh words for anyone who tries to get in the way of his following God's will for his life, including his own family. On the other hand, in his dying moments on the cross, the last thing that Jesus does is give his mother into the care and keeping of one of the other disciples after his death. In his life and teachings, Jesus redefines family to mean not just our biological family, but the family of faith. "Who are my mother and brothers?" Jesus asks at one point. "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it," he answers. "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." As Miller writes, Jesus clarifies and prioritizes our relationships, giving priority to the family of God. In this way, the faith community, the church, becomes a kind of extended family, incorporating biological families and even acting in the place of natural families when the need arises. As the bridge that moves us from our relationship with God to our relationship with others, the Fifth Commandment calls us to honor not only our biological parents, but all who have gone before us and helped us become who we are today. As Sister Joan writes, parenting transcends the value to children alone. It is a holy gift for the sake of the whole human community. Each of us, whether we have children or not, gives birth to the next generation. As members of God's family, we are called to honor those who give us life and help us become the people God created us to be. Honoring means making important and taking care of all of those who have taken care of us. It means making sure that they have all that they need to live life to its fullest: food and clothing, community and dignity, love and respect. It means listening to their wisdom and letting it shape who we become as parents of future generations. This is how all of God's children, young and old, live together in God's abundant life. So as Sister Joan encourages us, honor your father and your mother. Honor those who are parenting your soul into wholeness. Honor all of those parental figures who brought you beyond self-centeredness to the decent self you are today. In doing so, you honor not only them, but the Lord our God, the creator of all life, and the parent of us all. Amen.